I want to speak a little bit about Purim. There are certain mitzvahs hayayim of Purim, beautiful mitzvahs that the Megillah speaks about, Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyanim. These are like sister mitzvahs. They're put together side by side in the Megillah. The Pasuk says, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. It's not clear exactly why these are mitzvahs that are commanded to be done in the aftermath of Purim. But I've seen that the site of the day of Purim is to foster a feeling of closeness in Klal Yisrael, a certain love and camaraderie and achdus that comes about during times that were threatened. I guess sort of like these days that we're living in today, that people have described to me in Eretz Yisrael, the achdus that is really very palpable. Every single day you see how chilonim and charedim and everything in between are causing a revolution in terms of doing things for one another, in terms of closeness. And this is only caused by the feelings of fear. When Klal Yisrael are threatened people band together and we unite. We understand that we can't have the luxury of being not unified. And so, Lech Knesses Kol HaYehudim, when Klal Yisrael came together and did tshuva, that enabled us to have Yeshua. And the annual remembrance of Purim must involve these feelings of being reunited with one another. And the love that Klal Yisrael really inherently has, but sometimes the Eitz Hara drives wedges between us, divides us unnecessarily. And on Purim, we get together and we're ma'achid one with another. So we send shalach manos to one another. We give matanos levyanim. We have sudas together, mishpacha. Families get together and communities get together to listen to the Megillah. All of these are mitzvahs that are supposed to unite Klal Yisrael as one nation. If I were to ask you, which is the more important mitzvah between the two sister mitzvahs of Shalach Manos and Matanos Levyanim, which is the more important mitzvah? If I was an alien that landed from Mars and I was just examining, you know, what people do, my Amma Debar, like what do people actually do, I think hands down, at least money wise, I'd say that Shalach Manos is a much more important mitzvah to do, because that's, I think, what most people put more time and effort into thinking about and spending money on, and going to stores and supermarkets and coming up with themes and spending a lot of money on Shalach Manos. And then when it comes to Matanos Levyanim, people give a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if the average household would spend more money on Matanos Levyanim than Shalach Manos. I'm not sure. But I would venture to say that people tend to spend a lot of money on Shalach Manos. I think much more so than they might do on Matanos. Matanos Levyanim, they give, you know, some money to people collecting and before Purim, on Purim, but Shalach Manos is something that you have a whole factory in your house and you have assembly lines, and you're making baskets and wine and cakes and cookies, hamantash, and it's a whole ordeal. Matanos Levyanim is just something to be yaitzei. If you look in the Rambam says quite the opposite. The Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, says, Mutav la'odam, laharbeis matanos levyanim, It's better for a person to be marbe in matanis levyainim. It's much better to give the lion's share of your money earmarked for Purim towards matanis levyainim, more so than mishloach manis. She'ein sham simcha gedayla mefuara el sameach lev aniyim v'yisayimim v'almanis v'geirim. Because there is no greater simcha, there is no more glorious simcha, but to be misameach lev aniyim, to make the hearts of poor people happy, v'yisayimim v'almanis v'geirim, and orphans and widows and converts, by giving them matanis levyainim, by giving those people that are misfortunate a smile on their faces, shamisameach levhom lalama elo daima l'shchina. Somebody that's misameach, those, the hearts of those people are daima l'shchina, says the Rambam. It's not a simple thing the Rambam is saying. They are actually upgraded to being called similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're daima l'shchina. If you act in a way that's generous and you give over money towards aniyim and yisayim, almanis, geirim, people that really desperately need it, and now they have a little food to buy for their family, and now they have a little money to spend and to be misameach on Purim with, and beyond maybe, that is the greatest mitzvah. You're daima l'shchina. And the Rambam brings a pasuk, Shenemar l'hachayais ruach shefalim u'lahachayais Lev Nitkaim, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the hearts of those that are crushed. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy with making people that are downtrodden, that are shattered people, fragile people, he rebuilds them, he gives them chiyos, he revives them. That's the point of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends his time with, and we are expected to follow suit, and b'myuchad on Purim. Purim is a day that we could be daima l'shchina by giving matanis l'avyayinim. He says it's a much bigger mitzvah to give matanis l'avyayinim more than mishloach manis. I once wanted to say that perhaps this is meduyik in the pasuk in Megillas Esther, because the pasuk says, u'mishloach manis, you send gifts, ish l're'ehu, one man to his friend. U'matanais levyainim. But, and then you give matanais levyainim. It doesn't say, notice by matanais levyainim, it doesn't say the word ish. It says the word ish by mishleach manais, ish l're'ehu. It doesn't say, u'matanais ish levyainim. It doesn't say that. Because when you give matanais levyainim, you're not an ish. You're daim l'shchina. There's no ish in you anymore. You go from the status of a mortal, of a man. A man gives shalach manis, it's beautiful. But when you're giving matanis levyainim, now you're not an ish, you're daimel l'shchina. You have graduated from the realm of ish, now you're already daimel l'shchina. You are similar to the shchina. It reminds me of a story that they say about the Hasidim of Rav Moshe Leib Sassover, one of the great Gedalei Admirim, the great Hasidish Rebbes, and there was a misnaged, somebody that was really anti-Hasidim, and he came to the town of Sassov, and it was during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and the Rebbe wasn't coming to Slichas in the morning. He didn't come to Slichas for some reason. And this misnagi said, where's the Rebbe? Everyone has to wake up at the crack of dawn to go to Slichas. Where's the Rebbe? And they said, no, the Rebbe is, he's in his room. He's being misbaita. He's doing tshuva for Klal Yisrael. He's being misaking things. He's being miyachid yichudim. He's doing very high spiritual things. That's why the Rebbe is not here. It says, oh, come on. You believe that stuff? Says, come on, the Rebbe is probably just sleeping late. He says, chas v'shalom, the Rebbe is holy. The Rebbe is not. So he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna sneak into the Rebbe's room the night before, and tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and see what the Rebbe is really doing in the morning while everyone else is going to Slichas. So they say, okay, fine, let us know what happens. So this misnagid goes, and he uh, He enters, he sneaks clandestinely into the Rebbe's study, into the Rebbe's private room. And then all of a sudden at like 5 o'clock in the morning, still dark out, and this Misnaged wakes up, you know, from wherever he was hiding, and he sees the Rebbe starting to stir. And he says, okay, this is going to be good. Let's see what the Rebbe is doing now. The Rebbe takes off his big day malchus, his lavush, his special chassidisha Rebbe's garments, and he dresses up like a very regular person, like just like a regular person in the Russian peasant. And he puts on his cap and he puts on like a winter coat, like a flannel winter coat, and he puts on his boots and he takes like an axe in his hand and he starts heading out into the wilderness, into the forest. And this Misnaged quickly gets dressed and he runs after him. And he's trying to see what the Rebbe is doing. And the Rebbe goes to a certain home deep out in the forest, and there's a widow there who, and there's no, it's a freezing cold night, and the Rebbe says, do you have firewood? She doesn't know who he is. She thinks he's a regular peasant. She says, no. He says, okay, I'm going to bring you firewood. She says, I can't really afford so much. I have no money. He says, all right, well, we'll talk about it when I bring you back the firewood. He goes and he starts chopping down trees and he starts chopping firewood and he gathers the firewood. And then as he's chopping the trees, he's saying the Yud Gimel Midas that he would normally say with Slichas, with a tzibor, but he's saying Hashem Hashem, Kel Racham, Mechanan, the Rachmanas, the mercy, all of the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu he's putting into the chopping of the firewood. And then he gathers it and he puts it on this almana's door. He knocks on the door and he runs away. And this Misnaged is nispa, like, wow, this is a Rebbe. This is a real tzaddik. And he comes back and he puts on his talis and tefillin and he davens with the chassidim by shachris. And the chassidim gather around him after davening is over. And they said, Nuk, did you hide in the Rebbe's room? He says, yes, I hid in the Rebbe's room. And did you see what the Rebbe was doing? Isn't it true that what we said, the Rebbe like goes up to Shamayim in those early hours while we're all davening Slichas? He says, no, that's not true. He says he doesn't go up to Shamayim. He goes much, much higher. He goes much higher than Shamayim. That's really what Matanis Avyayinim is. Matanis Avyayinim affords a Yid to go and be daim l'shchina. You're not just even a malach. You're higher than a malach. You're daim l'shchina. And this is something that we are given the opportunity to do really every day with tzedakah. But Purim is a day that we're supposed to be daim l'shchina and have this certain godliness to us, a love of another yid and caring about another yid, worrying about the plight of another yid, even if by me it's very good. Baruch Hashem, I have a job. Baruch Hashem, I have a house. Baruch Hashem, I have a family. There are so many people out there that are suffering so much. And it behooves a Yid on Purim to go and try to do whatever they can for them. I mean, since I was in high school, my high school, I went to the Masifta of Long Beach. I think we might have been the first ones to be mechadish this movement of going around, Yeshua Bachim going around in costumes, in, you know, collecting in different communities. I used to go to Brooklyn by the Syrians, and I have a lot of funny stories about those Purims. But we used to, like, Purim was like a real, we raised hundreds of thousands of dollars on 1 or 2 days, a little bit in advance and whatever, but like, and they sent, the Rosh Yeshiva used to like send the money to Rav Shach. Rav Shach would distribute it to Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael, and it still goes on at Ayim. It's a very popular thing, but many yeshivas now have done it. We didn't collect for the yeshiva itself. We were collecting Pshuta Kamashmai for the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael. And that's an opportunity that we have to foster love and connection between one year and another year. I don't know the people that the money is going to. You don't know who's getting the Matanis Avinim. You don't have to. All you have to know is that there are Yidden that are receiving it and that I need to fill whatever an Ani needs. That's my job, to be Mashlim. But really, all the Mitzvahs Hayayim are lending themselves towards this opportunity of Ava Bereyas. I want to share with you the site of Shalachmanis. We spoke a little bit now about Matanis Avyayinim. and the importance of it, the primary importance of Matan Sevyan, and more so than Shalach Manas. But Shalach Manas is also an opportunity, and you don't have to be one of these people that send 100 Shalach Manas. If it was up to me, I would just, mamish give, two Shalach Manas and that's it. But the Shalach Manas that you give is supposed to be like in order to make the person that's receiving it feel special. That's the point. It's not just, I'm yaitzer, do the mitzvah, this mitzvah, you have this, I buy, a dollar. That's not Shalach Manas. Shalach Manas is that I'm supposed to send it to somebody that appreciates it and that it does something for our relationship. Somebody wise once said that if it was up to them, you have lists. When you get married and mitzvah Shem, you'll be married someday and you'll have a community and you'll have a whole list of people, maybe 20, 30, 40 Shalach Manas, and then there are people that you weren't expecting. You have to recycle Shalach Manas people that you got and put different cards and stickers and, it's a whole operation. And you have a list of people that you have to send to or you have to make for. He says, if it was up to me, I would tear up that list, tear it up, shred it. That's not the... And then make a list of people that you don't want to send Shalach Manas to. Make the, your enemy list then, or the people that you're not friendly with, the people that you don't like so much, the people that that maybe wronged you over the course of the year, and that the relationship got fractured. And now you take the Shalach Manas, those same Shalach Manas, your friends don't need it. They know that you're boys with them. But you take the Shalach Manas that are not to people that is expecting it from you, and you send it to them, and now it can heal a relationship. That's a real Shalach Manas. That's like the mitzvah of Shalach Manas. Of course, you could send it to your friends also, and that will make your relationship even stronger. But the point of Shalach Manas is to foster Ava and Achva and Reyes and Klal Yisrael. That's the point of Shalach Manas, in a nutshell. And whatever it is that you could send to somebody that will bring a smile to their face, and they will say, wow, he thought of me. He did something that I appreciate. He did it customized to me. That's the point of Shalach Manas. I have a Talmud, I don't want to say who it is, but every year he sends me a Shalach Manas that's more beautiful than the year before. Not because it's he's putting in Woodford. That's not why. If he would, it would be nice, actually. But it's he makes something like that's like a beautiful masterpiece, Shalach Manas. Every year, something that happened to me during the year, something that we have in common during the year. He literally thinks about it weeks in advance, and he makes a whole thing. And like last year, I had my back was out for the whole year. It was like crazy pain. I was going to acupuncture and PT and whatever. It was like very hard year for me. And he made like a box. I open it up, and it's like me, like face down, like you see, like a white shirt and a black pants and tzitzis or whatever, and with pins in my back. It was a cake, and with pins in my back with wood, a little Woodford, to heal, and it lit up. It was a whole like electronic thing. It was a whole thing just to show that, like imanechi b'tzar, like it was funny, but it was also like he got it. Like this is what was on my mind, and he was able to customize it to me. And that's a real Shalach Manas. That you don't have to go that far for me, but you can. But that would be a nice way of Shalach Manas. You don't just give, a hamantash. You think a little bit, like even a nice note. I'll tell you something that I saw this year, amazing, about Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, who was nifter on Purim 2 years ago. So he would want to send, very few people know this, but Reb Chaim's Rebbe was Reb Shach. Reb Shach was his Rebbe in the Lamja Yeshiva. Reb Chaim, when he was young, was a Talmud in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Lamja, and Reb Shach was like one of the Rosh Yeshivas there. And they were very close, and Reb Chaim and his Chavrusa they wanted to send Reb Shach a Shalach Manas, but a meaningful Shalach Manas to Reb Shach. So what they did was, together, they wrote a beautiful letter to Rav Shach, and they had L'chveid Marenu V'Rabbeinu Hagayin Hagadol Mefursam Marenu Rebbe Elazar Menachem Shach Shlita V'Amachaber Sefer Avi Ezri L'chveid Simchas Purim, in honor of Simchas Purim, Harenu Miskabdim L'chtoev La'adar Gayin Marenu. We're writing to you Eza Kushis Mashnik kashinu bahem. We have some shver kashis that we have. Ad makim shenim, I guess, as much as we're able to realize. V'zech ilenim bahem. This is what we did. And then they write the whole list of kashas on every mesechta and shas. Brachas, and then all the Mishnayos and Zeruah, one kasha per Masechta. They did it only up to Bava Basra for some reason, but it's a very long list with like one line questions, and they sent to Rav Shach, and then at the end of the letter, he says, they write to him that Ad kan hayinu mehalchem, unekave shadar gan yashiv lanu v'yamidein al emes. Please respond to us and set us on the right true path. And we would do more, but we have to be mekatzer because of the day. They wrote this all on Purim. Purim night they did it, and they sent it to Rav Shach, and they signed their names. Rav Chaim and his chavrusa, his chavrusa's name was Rav Weintraub, Rav Beryl Weintraub, and Rav Shach was nispar. Rav Shach got this is to Rav Shach like the greatest shalachmanis, and he writes. He said about that year that he never had such an amazing shalachmanis in his life. He never received, and it was something that was very special to him. He kept it in his papers, and we still apparently this shalachmanis still exists. They still should have it, although it's I've tried to get things in the past from the family. I wasn't able to. It's an interesting story. When I was writing Great Jewish Letters, there was a letter that was written by Rav David Karliner to Rav Chaim, or Rav Chaim Soloveitchik wrote it back. It's a long story. I ain't Great Jewish Letters, but I was looking for one letter from Rav Chaim, and I literally turned over the whole world. I knew that Rav Shach had a copy of it because he writes about it. He had a photocopy of this letter. It's an amazing letter, but so I called Rav Shach's grandson, Rabbi Bergman in Bnei Brak, because he wrote a sefer, and I asked him, does it exist? He says, let me look for it. He looked over, he couldn't find it. And I was calling this place, I was calling that place, I was calling grandchildren. And then all of a sudden, somehow, some way, it turns out that the original letter, not a photocopy of a photocopy, the original letter that I was looking for and I was turning over the whole world for was a block away from yeshiva. The original letter. There's a Rav in town called Rav Savitsky, and he is from Boston, his family's from Boston, and somehow he yarshined letters from Rav David Karliner, I think, and somehow, he has a whole collection of letters from Rav David Karliner, and I went to his apartment, in his photo album is that letter. He gave it to me, I photocopied, I scanned it on the machine, and I brought it back to him very carefully, and it's in the book. But my point is, it's hard sometimes to get letters from that family, I don't know how, but this would be a very interesting letter to see, obviously. But this is the shalachmanes that Reb Chaim sent to Reb Shach. Why? Because the point of shalachmanes is not just to send, be yaitz of the mitzvah and send him, something, a cookie, and obviously that is the mitzvah, but that's not the letter of the law. There's a spirit to the law. The spirit of the law is to send something that's special, that when you receive it, you say, wow, it warms my heart to get this. Rav Shach saw that they put time and effort into giving him exactly what he needed, what he wanted, and that was special. Additionally, if you ever open up the Sefer Taima Dekra, Taima Dekra, I believe, is the best Sefer on Chumash, period, bar none. It's Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer on Chumash. I always say that if you would cover the top and take out the time of the Quran, you'd put in it Kol Eliyahu, like the Vilna Gaon's Torah, it wouldn't be shocking. He's very similar to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is Makasher Torah Shebachsav, Torah Shebapeh. He finds Remazim, Diyukim, and the Psukim to figure out how Chazal knew what they did. And Rav Chaim is every single time, he's on the money every single time. And we have it in yeshiva, but if you look, so he has on all of Tanakh, but he has a lot on Megillus Esther. Much more, maybe 10 times as much as, let's say, he has on Sefer Daniel or Sefer Yeshua or whatever. He has on Megillus Esther a ton, and it's beautiful Torah. It was published in a Sefer called Bashar HaMelech, but it's fascinating. His Torah on Megillus Esther, on everything, but why does he have so much on Megillus Esther? Why more on the... So I saw in the Sefer that it's a shaila whether he should stam write regular stuff on Purim. Purim is a holy day. Shouldn't stam be writing, you know, shtusim on Purim. So Reb Chaim felt that in Yanim of Purim, he could write on Purim. So if he has whatever is Mechadish and Megillas Esther, he would write. He would write a Purim night. He'd have a lot of Chidushim that are coming to him, like the Stipler also, his father. If you look in the back of his Sefer called Birchas Peretz, there's amazing gematrias. If you look, it's like gematrias that a supercomputer would be necessary to have in order to figure out, like, whole sentences. And, like, when did he spend time in that? So it says in the Hakdama to that Kuntres in the back of Birchas Peretz that it came to him during Kriyas HaTorah. He was listening to Kriyas HaTorah, and he chapped that this word in the pasuk was this gematria, and the Rashi, the Chazal on it, is the same exact gematria. And then after Shabbos, he'd write it down. It's an amazing thing. But Reb Chaim had that same thing. He would be able to mechadish things, and he would write it down on Purim. And what did he do with his chidushim? He sent it to his father, to the stipler, and the stipler was nana on Purim from his chidushei Torah. This is what we're supposed to be doing with our shalach manas. Don't send a million shalach. Send a few. It could be to people that you're not so close with that you want to connect with. It could be people that you're close but you really want to strengthen the kesher. It could be to your abeim. It could be to parents. But whoever it is, try to make it personal. Write a note. Be makir tayv in the shalach manas for what you've received from that person, from that rabbi, from whatever. Just the more that you could personalize it, that's mar ba'achva reyes, a chiddush, a thought, a poem, something that you have that you want to share with others that will be meisiv ava v'achva. That's the point. I'll tell you one cute story. It's not really exactly for the shmuz, but I had such hana. Reb Chaim, in Purim, he had lines of people that would come to get brachas from him. And there was a boy online, a little boy that was dressed like a fish. For Purim, he was wearing a costume. So Reb Chaim had a great sense of humor. I think we've spoken in the past. Reb Chaim used to say, Buha, Buha, Bracha, Batzlacha, Buha, 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 Buha. So one time, the last guy online said, I understand you're saying Buha to everybody because, you want the line to move. But I'm the last guy online. So can you, do a little better? Give me, a real Gezunta bracha. So Reb Chaim says, okay, Buha. He's very, very funny, Reb Chaim. A lot of times you see him laughing. He was, he always had a good sense of humor. But this is such a beautiful story. So this kid is passing by. Everybody, he says, what are you dressed up as, Reb Chaim? Everybody's looking like he's dressed up as a fish. It's not so complicated. So he says, I'm dressed up as a fish. He says, no, you're not dressed up as a fish. He says, don't say you're dressed up as a fish. He says, you're dressed up as Yaina Hanavi. You're a yid that's swallowed up by a fish. There's a fish around you, but you're Yaina Hanavi. Reb Chaim, with his Torah Dika Cook, with his looking at things with Torah, he saw everything as Torah. But the point, it doesn't exactly fit in with the Shalach Manas theme or with the Matanas of Yainim, but it defines the nature of Purim. Because Purim is a day that you're supposed to make another person feel good and tell a young boy that you're Yaina Navi, you're a tzaddik. And, and be able to be Marbe, Ava, Reya, Simcha by other people. That's the point of Purim. Purim is a day of Aliyah in Ruchnias that we can't have on any other day, including Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim. I think the Zayir, the Arizal, says this. It's a very elevated day. And it's if the Megillah is giving us these mitzvah, Mishlech Manis, Matanis Lev Yainim, rest assured that these are necessary ingredients to uplift us to very high levels. Ben Adam LaMakim, the Hakar Satayev that we have in Alanisim and in all the Avedas Hayayim, that's clear. But the Ben Adam LaChavera element is also something that we grow from. And we grow from it by being miyachid together, by the Sudas, by our Rabbeim's houses. Everyone's invited, of course, to the shack by my house after Mincha, world famous shack. But come. come and stay and come early and stay till the end. It's a time that we could be ma'achid as a yeshiva, as chaverim, and it's something that we can't squander. Every moment of Purim is so precious. And to be by your Rebbe Suda, to be with your chevra, to be in yeshiva, by the mesiba, it's a day that we could really find ways to be closer to one another through the mitzvahs hayayim, through the sudas, through the mesibas, through the rakidas. It's a day that should not be squandered at all. It's a day that people shteig on Purim like they don't shteig the rest of the year. It's also important to point out, and I don't know what we're going to do next Friday, but just give a little time for it to sink in a little. You know, it's not a day of hilus. It's not a day of hefker. It's not a day I want to get drunk. I'm going to running around. That's not the avodas hayayim. That's the avodas hayayim for people that are not in yeshiva, for people that have no Torah, they have no shaychus to what Purim is supposed to be. So they think it's a Jewish Halloween. So Jewish Halloween, you get dressed, and we get drunk, and you scream, and you have hilus. That's not what Purim is. That's just, not only is it a bizayin of Purim, but you're wasting the most important day of the year. It's a day that you have to make sure to plan ahead, to be in a place that's good for you, to be a place that's safe for you, to be in a place that has she'ifas of ruchnias with rabbeim, with chaverim, that are good friends. That's the nature of Purim, to be in yeshiva. And of course, Mitzvah Hashem, next Shabbos and in Shabbos, a big Shabbos in yeshiva, Parsha Zachar. I'm telling you now, because if I tell you next Friday, you know, everyone, you know, it's too late. So I'm telling you now, you know, be here. I'm going to be here with my family, Mitzvah Hashem. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a wonderful Shabbos, and we're going to go straight from Shabbos into Purim. But please, like, really just think about planning out what your Purim will look like. Visualize your Purim from beginning to end. Make sure that you're going to the right places, you're going to be by the right places, and you're going to be prepared, whether it's Matanis Levyainim, with whatever you might be able to afford, Mishloach Manis, in whatever way, capacity that you could, you know, do it in the best way. The Sudas, everything should be tip-top, and if you are able to go through Purim and by the Ne'ilah of Purim say, this was one for the books, this was a great Purim, then your Shtaigen, your Aliyas, and Ruchnias, and Gashmias, Ben Amlamach, Ben Al-Chaveroi, will just be like completely like to the next level. All because of this one very, very holy, very chashuv, very majestic day. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful Shabbos.